What I'm going to speak on is sin and the consequences. One of the ways is the way of death. And it's vitally important for us as Christians that we have a right understanding of sin. We have a biblical understanding of sin. And that it's vitally important that we understand how the sin issue is dealt with. And what you have in the church today, not in this church, but just in the worldwide Church of Jesus Christ, you have a sort of a pop psychology spirituality that for me has blurred the biblical teaching on sin. And it can get people into a place of confusion and not really understanding what sin is and how it's dealt with. But when we look at sin, sin is horrific. It's horrific for God and it's horrific for us. It's horrific for God in this sense that God had to watch his son, blood, drain from him on the cross of Calvary. And God had to listen to his son, asking him, Father, if there's any other way, if there's any other way, oh God. And there wasn't. There was no other way. The only way was the cross. And that way was horrific. And God had to watch his beloved son being mocked and cursed and laughed at by the seed of Adam. Adam whom he loved. Adam whom he created. Adam who he made a king over his creation. Who gave him authority over all what he had made. And God said it's very, very good. And God had to watch this. And what I want to look at is the Bible says that sin is universal. And Romans 3 and verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And in the Word it says there is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins. Sin is universal. And there's no generation or there's no man who's of the seed of Adam, who ever walked this earth, who was not corrupted by sin. No one. We have all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And what I want to go first, and I think it's important, that we look at the origins of sin. And how sin entered into the world and how sin entered into heaven. And the Bible tells us of an amazing creature. And in the Bible he has many names. One is Lucifer, the serpent, the evil one, the accuser, the deceiver, the great dragon, and we could move on, right? And he was an amazing creature who was created by God. And I'm just going to read. And what we need to understand and always keep in our minds, he is a created creature, created by God. And in Ezekiel 28 and verses 12 to 17. Now, some Bible scholars would say that this doesn't apply to Satan, so, but I believe it does. So just to make that point. You were the model of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you. Your settings and mountains were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. You were anointed as a guardian cherub. For so I ordained you. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, O guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. And then in Isaiah 14 and verses 12 to 14. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You've been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, this is all the I wills. I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. And in Revelation chapters 12 and verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough. Amen. He was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Revelations 12 and verse 12. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short. So here we have a picture of this amazing creature who God made, who was perfect, and God gave him amazing abilities. But in his heart, he sought to be like God. And it talks about he was filled with violence. He brought many, one third of the angels were him, and he caused war in heaven itself. That's incredible. He caused war in heaven itself and took many with him. And God drove him out of heaven. God expelled him out of heaven, and his time for judgment is coming. And he knows it, because the word says that he knows his time is short. Now I want to go then. I want to go to the garden. Louis has actually touched on it. I was getting afraid when I was sitting there, and I thought, I hope Louis didn't see me notes. No, I was getting afraid. I says, but it was encouraging, because God's Holy Spirit, even Rob last night when he was talking, was touched in it, because I hear the voice of the Spirit through Rob and what God's been giving me through Noel, I'm sure through Eddie and Louise as well. And that's always, to me, is always encouraging, because it says to me that we're in line with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is speaking to us. We're all made up and we all bring what we have. Genesis 6 and 5 to 7. Sorry, that's not where I'm at. Just bear with me for a second. Genesis 2 and 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of God of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die." Now what we see here was Adam, God clearly showed Adam that if he was to sin or be disobedient in this command, death was to follow. Death was to follow. So Adam knew the consequences. That if he moved onto ground that God had told him not to move onto, that the consequences was going to be death. And then, if we go to chapter 3 and verses 1 to 7. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die." So we see here Eve knew the consequences of disobedience to the command of God. She understood too that God said, if you are disobedient and you transgress against my authority, then you will die. And then Three and 24. Sorry. If we go on 6 again, just when the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom. Now you see in Eve's heart too, because the devil had said to her, you can be like God. So you see her motives now, like the devil's motives. She wanted to gain wisdom. And her heart was moved in that way by the devil. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And what we see here, it's the consequences immediately of sin. Death had come. Death had now come to the seed of Adam. And when the Bible says they were deceived, they were deceived through being enticed by the devil to be like God, to gain more wisdom. They both knew the penalties, but they weren't deceived in that way. And what we see here is when they hid from God and they sowed fig leaves because they seen they were naked. Now that says to me, they had a deep sense of shame. Because Adam and Eve knew their eyes were open. And when God came looking for them, they hid from him. And that's the way we have been ever since the fall. Man always has a sense of shame. And we cannot look God in the eye. We always hide from him. Because we know we're sinners. We know we're sinners. And what they tried to do, they covered up their shame. And we see that all the time. People hiding behind whatever you want to name. Everyone hiding behind something. No one can be true because we're all filled with a sense of shame. Because we know we are sinners and the Bible declares that unto us. Now Adam ruptured his relationship with God. He ruptured it. He betrayed this God who had given him tremendous honor, who had made him king over his creation, subject to God alone. And he had sold his seed, or he had surrendered his seed into the hands of the evil one. And when God came, God knew the consequences. God knew when he came to Adam. He knew the consequences. He knew the tremendous, horrific thing that had happened. And it says, there is God drove Satan out of heaven, he drove Adam out of the garden. Because sin can never dwell in the presence of God. And God will never have that got to do with sin. Because sin destroys. It brings corruption. It brings war. It brings rape. It brings child abuse. It brings broken marriages. It brings violence of all sort into the earth. And God's way of dealing with sin is to crush it. He doesn't mess around with sin. He doesn't deal with sin willy-nilly. God knows the consequences of sin. And he will not allow her in his presence. He drives her out. He'll have nothing got to do with it. And 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. And in Romans 5 verse 2. So we see that sin entered into the seed of Adam. True Adam. Romans 5 and verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. And in Psalm 89 and verse 48, what man can live and not see death? Or save himself from the power of the grave. We cannot. We who are of the seed of Adam are facing death. We had no hope. He had surrendered us to death. He was the representative of the race and he surrendered us to death. And we were without hope. There's no way we could have come back into a relationship with God. That relationship was ruptured and it was broken. And there's no way that we could have come back. And the reason being because sin had entered us and corrupted us. And we would always go the way of sin because our evil nature will always drive us that way or draw us that way. So we had no hope. And the word of God in Ecclesiastes 7, And verse 2 it says, for death is the destiny of every man. And Proverbs 20 verse 9, who can say, I have kept my heart pure, I am clean and without sin? No one can. No one can. So we see here, we were without hope. There was no way back to God for us because sin had entered in and corrupted our nature. And what the consequences of sin for the human race, and it's in Genesis 6. And 5-7. The Lord God saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. That's the consequences of sin. That this God, who when he said, it is very good, when he made this, when he created man and honored him and loved him and fellowshipped with him and gave him incredible authority, now it says that his heart was grieved with pain. And God brought on the flood on the earth. And God wiped out all of mankind except Noah and his seed. And you hear people today saying, why does God allow this? Why doesn't God end this? Why doesn't God allow this to happen? Well, once God didn't. Once God said, I will not. And he flooded and he judged the earth. And the reason God said he will never do that again, but what God is waiting for, whoever can be saved, he will save. And then the day of judgment will come. And you think that God, it says his heart was grieved. Do not think, and I've often believed this, that God looks down on the sins of man now. And he sees the workings of sin. He sees the evil of it. But in his great love and in his great patience, he's on a rescue mission. He's crying out to the seed of Adam, whoever will be saved, be saved. And he presents his son to us. And he says, in him is salvation. He has paid the price. He has done what was impossible for you to do. Now then we go on. And Noah, and for time I'm going to rush on. Noah, his seed repopulates the earth. Then we come to Sodom. And sin is still at work. Even after God judged and he kept Noah, which the word said was a righteous man, and he was righteous. And look this up, it's very important. He was righteous by faith. And God destroyed Sodom. He judged those people. And where are we at today? It says, Psalm 14 and verse 1. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there's any who understand, any who seek God. All have turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. And you know, God came looking for us. We never looked for God. But God in his great mercy and love came to rescue the seed of Adam. And the word says there was no one. But God still came. And it's very important to understand this. The Bible talks about the evil nature. You have not got an evil nature because you are in Jesus Christ. The Bible says once you were dead in your trespasses and sins, but God has made you alive in Christ. So when these words are read out, there is none, you are not that none now, because you be made alive in Jesus Christ. And you are of the seed of Christ, not of the seed of Adam. And I'm going to end on this. I want to say this, that sin is horrific, which I've already said. And the consequences of it, we can see before our very eyes. But God, in his tremendous love and mercy, is at work in this earth, through me and through you, to the worldwide body of Jesus Christ. And there is no other religion. And sometimes we need to understand this too. When you look at other religions, because the word of God says there is no name under heaven that man can be saved by but the name Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the light. No one comes unto the Father but through me. And that no one means everyone of the seed of Adam. There's no exceptions. No matter what title people take on, no matter what they say, system of religion that they give their hearts to. Because what I see in those religious beliefs is people trying to earn a righteousness through their own efforts. People trying to make their life right with God. Trying to earn a righteousness that God says we can never earn. All our righteous acts are but filthy rags before him outside of Christ. Those words never apply to us as in Christ. Remember that. Sometimes when you hear this, your heart, if you're a new Christian, your heart can sing sometimes. They don't apply to you. Because you are in Christ. There's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. And what we see is people trying to earn a righteousness, trying to build up a credit with God that somehow when they stand before him will be enough for the judgment of God on sin to be met. And the judgment on sin was the cross and was the Christ who was on the cross. That is the judgment on sin. God crushed him. Which is an amazing verse in the Bible. God crushed him for our sakes. The price of our sin was upon him. We are a great people. The reason why we're a great people, because this word declares to us incredible, wonderful things. Amazing things. And every time I get into it, I never come away just amazed at who we are in Jesus Christ. And it says this in Proverbs 6 and verse 16. God hates sin. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil. And this is the seven. Six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Now why the six and the seven? It says, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers is detestable before God. And sometimes, as Christians, we need to understand this. That the grace of God can nearly bring us into a place of complacency. And that's one thing I have to fight against. Because the grace of God is an incredible thing. As Paul said, it's almost where you can even say it gives us a license to sin. And there were some people putting that argument to Paul at one time. Because it's an amazing thing. Because in Christ, in the blood of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ, he has paid it all, fully and totally. But we should never be complacent with sin. And always remember the consequences of sin. That was the death of the Son of God. And always ask God to keep our heart sensitive to sin, where it seeks to come in, where it seeks to break fellowship between us and God. And if that happens, and it does happen, the blood is there. The eternal blood of God. Every day, every hour. If I say to you, I am a man without sin, I'm a liar. The word of God declares that anyway. But I'm a man who knows the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's not a boast in Christ. And a man who knows the wonderful, incredible power of that blood to cleanse me from all my sin. And if I fall, and I do fall, I'm quick back to that cross. I'm quick back on my knees. And I know that my God forgives me. Praise his holy name. What I want us to do is just spend a bit of time. Now I think we're going to play a song. And let's just spend a bit of time just remembering the price that God had to pay for our freedom, for our salvation. And the reason why he done it was not because he had to, not because he was forced to, not because he felt legalistically that he had to do it. He done it because he loves us. When Adam fell in the garden, God immediately implemented a rescue plan. And it's an incredible rescue plan. Incredible. Absolutely amazing. Praise his holy name.